Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Bit of an early one this week. We are recording on the Monday night, which means there's some data that we don't quite have in terms of injuries and shit, but we will still deliver the same old content that we usually do.
Yeah, and we'll start off with the group winner, which is a bloke that's already won our weekly group already, and that's Vinny with his team Plunkball with a massive 2,146. Paddo, who did he have?
Yeah, great job, Vinny. Huge score. Had the big duo of Luke Ryan and Harry Sheezel in defence who went fucking nuts. And, yeah, getting out of reach for people that don't have them, which is pretty crazy. I'm very lucky to have both. Has your man Dano Whitfield in defence as well as Clohisi or Closey? I've heard him be called both. Midfield was kind of average. He has Elliot Yeo in. Obviously, he's a defender, had a massive score against the deplorable Tigers. And Jack Steele obviously had a big score once again. Big Maxi Gorn as his captain using the loophole. And, nice team.
We did lose you for a second there, Paddo, but I think we got the gist of it there with the Yeo in midfield. We'll go on to injuries and suspensions. Fuck me, Dad. First one is Zach Butters. Oh, wait, no, he didn't get suspended, but Matt Crouch did. Suspension 1 week.
Yeah, how does that actually fucking work? Because when I saw it happen, I thought, fuck, Butters is done here, and that's going to really hurt some people.
Brownlow contention. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, it's pretty shit, though.
Pretty fucking dodge. Anyway, Matt Crouch, suspension 1 week. The weird one, Tom Liberatore, Paddo, concussion protocols 1 week. Bevo saying, nah, he just tripped. And then next minute, concussion.
Yeah, just magically tripped 30 seconds after a pretty intense head knock. Of course he did, Bevo.
Yeah. Colby McKercher, got a big smackaroony to the ribs, got subbed off. I'm not sure what the go is there at the moment, but we'll discuss pretty much going and trading him out anyway because he's fucked now. Max King, ankle, didn't play in the fourth quarter. Didn't look like he played the whole fucking game.
That's even with no Sammy Taylor, Dano.
I know, that was even worse.
That was horrific, that knock. So obviously we hope Sammy Taylor is okay and recovers well, one of the best key defenders in the whole comp.
Yep, he'll miss two. One that you don't have on here is Stephen Cornelio. He dodged ACL, Paddo. He's just done his, like, I don't know if it's an MCL tear or strain or what, but he's going to be out for a couple of weeks at least. But good that he's not getting an ACL there. Lloyd Meek, what happened there, Paddo?
Didn't watch this game because I was watching the Port Adelaide Freo game, which was a great game, by the way, until who I thought was going to be a dud pick, kicked the game-winning goal and got 30 for it, but we won't go into that too much, Dano. Apparently didn't play the last 20 minutes of the game and apparently did get a bit of a knee to the ribs. So The fact that they were down 50, maybe it was just a bit of a precaution to make sure that doesn't get worse. Hopefully for people that jumped on him, he doesn't miss time over it. Worth noting, though, that their other ruckman, Ned Reeves, went down in the VFL. So they kind of fucked without him. So maybe they knew that Reeves went down and they just let Meek sit out the rest of the game. They'd already done their sub. So
Hopefully
it was just a case of managing him so he gets up next week. But it should all come out in the injury report, which will drop tomorrow or Wednesday.
Or maybe it's Max Ramsden season.
I mean, he's on the bubble.
That's what I mean. Christian Salem went down early. Don't know how long for. He's going to be out. Made House play better.
Yeah, so someone that's had a bit of hamstring history, you'd think that's at least 4 to 6 weeks. They are on the bye this week, but Yeah, as you were alluding to, Blake Howes really benefits from this to sort of have the reins at halfback along with Trent Rivers.
Yep, and we've got the double whammy for Carlton, Adam Sard and Mitch McGovern. We got a hammy for both. Is that Pato?
Yep, both twanged a hammy.
Yep. So good for Zachy Williams there, Pato.
Yeah, I reckon he's finally going to get that 100. He seems to be on sort of 60-odd at halftime and fades out of games, but he did miss a whole year of footy with that knee. So I think he's due, and I think next week is his turn week.
Yep. And finally, if Richmond couldn't suffer any more carnage, Jaden Short's calf. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know people that have started him, including you, Dano, and Jaden Short, I love Jaden Short. I'm a big Richmond fan, but she's had too many hamstring and calves in the last few years, and it's sad, but it feels inevitable every year, and he's finally done it. Same as Prestia with his hamstrings and calves as well. Like, it's a matter of if, not when.
Yeah.
Sorry, when, not if.
Yeah. So we'll go on to rookie trade-ins, Pato, and the two obvious ones for me, Sam Closey, 102K defender, 116 average, the second lowest break-even in Supercoach history at minus 174. He could actually get the lowest in history. I can't remember what he needs to score.
No, so he could get the biggest single price rise ever with a score of like 105 or something, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucked.
Yeah, he's as must have as it gets.
Glad I went early on him.
Yeah, same.
Saved it's my round.
Yeah, but we've got a few like decent options, so it feels like downgrade season.
Yeah, downgrade season. Yep. We've got Will Graham as well, 117K defender / mid, 79 average, minus 91 break even. Like I said, Pato, last week when we were talking about him, he isn't a flashy player. He's that gritty guy that just gets shit done. And I don't know how the fucking many tackles he got in that midfield, but it was double digits, and like
that's 15 what Dimmer wants. Isn't it?
14 or 15, yeah. So he's I don't think he's gonna be moving. He's doing the shit that Dimmer wants him to do, and the other guys can be flashy. So
yeah, I still feel like for some reason there should be concerns on job security, but with a negative 91 break even, we should hope he at least gets another 3 or 4 weeks so we can get 200K out of him. But he's getting CBAs, it must be noted.
Yeah, correct. The one that everyone was waiting on was Charlie Comben, 227K forward, minus 75 break even, averaging 102. He got a 75 last week. The big 129 falls out next week of his 3-round rolling average. I feel like another rookie, Pato, impacted on his scoring, and that's Biggie Newen at 123K forward, who's only played the one game and he got an 89. What are your thoughts?
So I'm worried about Comben at all. I know there's people that are concerned that big score does drop out of his rolling average. He's got the Saints in a few weeks, and we know how big defenders go against the Saints. So the top three scorers from the Giants versus Saints games were all defenders. So Lockie Ash, Lockie Whitfield, and Connor Iden were the three top scorers. And obviously, he's not a rebounding halfback like Ash and Whitfield, but very similar role to a Connor Iden who intercepts, who gets it out of defense. So I feel like there is another sort of spike score coming there if he does do well the next 2 weeks. But with Hawthorn and Adelaide the next two, I like those matchups for defenders as well. They're not great at kicking the ball inside 50. Dawson's playing forward, so we don't even have to worry about him getting it inside 50 for Adelaide, and Hawthorn are just full of butchers. So I feel like it'd be fine.
Yep, fair
like
enough.
He'll be matched up on a Ramsden type this week.
Or Biggie could be.
Or Biggie, but there's also Mabior Chol. Like,
let's talk a bit more about Biggie Newen. I know he's only played the one game, but people are going early on him, and potentially myself included.
Yeah.
I you were actually the one that was talking him up in preseason.
I was gonna start him if he was named round one, but then I think he was in concussion protocols or something. So
yeah.
And he was in about 500 teams when I was going to start him. So spewing, but is what it is.
Yeah. So I like him. I am very tempted to go around early on him. I don't think he's going to lose that spot. is quality. He is actually quality.
So I can't remember, Dano, whether I mentioned it on the podcast last week or whether I just said it in our group chat. But I mentioned that I was worried about Biggie being named because he's more of an intercept type than a lockdown type. Obviously, I didn't catch this game. I'm sure Fan Footy, yeah. So, yeah, look, Fan Footy saying Combin latched up on Cameron, and Cameron kicked a lazy six and had 21 touches on him. So, Biggie is more of the intercept type. He's not big enough to go with the bigger guys, which made me a little bit nervous. I think there's scope that you can bring both in. I'm going to leave it one more week for Biggie because I'm going to prioritize Graham instead, personally.
Yep. Yep. Kyle Lohman, 205K forward, minus 52 break even, 47 average. The reason why he's in here is because he's finally not been playing sub the last 2 weeks and gone 80 plus in both. So you'd think he's got that role locked down now, Paddo.
Yes, yeah. So he only had 10 touches, but he had 6 tackles and a goal, went at 100% for his 81. So I can understand why people might be concerned about that, but from all accounts, he looked really good. Again, I didn't catch this game either. But, yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him in early. I think his job security is pretty good. Brisbane fans really like him. I know Brisbane coaches really like him. And it looks like he's going to get a run of games. So even though he's played 5 games, he's got money to make because he had 30s.
Yep. And then finally, we got Mitch Georgiades, 230K forward, minus 31 break even, 81 average. I mean, I think at this point, considering the cash generation, Paddo, that we're struggling with these rookies that are coming in, and especially with midfield rookies at the moment too, stagnating like your Clarks, your Carrolls, your Riley Sanders, your Colby McKerches, they're all stagnating now. I feel like you need to prioritise the rookies that are in the 100,000 range.
Yeah, I agree. If people went super early on a lot of guys like Combin, Graham, Closey, etc., I can see Georgiades being an okay trade-in. He was actually on a really good score. Jackson Meade came on and played half forward and it moved Georgiades a bit more up the ground, which did limit his scoring a bit more. I agree, he's probably too expensive to look at, but if you're desperate, I think he'll score okay.
Okay, Paddo. So we're going to, before we start talking about the primo trade-ins, what message do we have to our listeners about... I'll call them inflated primos.
I know it's really hard, but you look at a Luke Ryan who's averaging 135, he's in 12.6% of teams, and just seems like he's scoring for fun. I get it. He's 653K. That is too much to spend. I think you need to not get sucked into these inflated priced guys because it's going to fuck your team building momentum, because you'd have to go 2 down, 1 up, maybe even 3 down, 1 up if you're going early on guys just to get to a Luke Ryan, Isaac Heaney type. And, like, I get it. Like, last year I didn't start Jordan Dawson and a lot of people jumped on him early. I didn't. I had to wait because I wasn't going to spend over 600K on him, even though he was a defender and obviously in the midfield and destroying it. His price did end up coming down eventually, and Luke Ryan will have a game where he gets locked down on. Like, it's going to happen. It won't happen this week. He's got West Coast. Then he's got the Dogs. I mean, it may be the Dogs game where they put someone on him. But Bevo's a fuckwit, so probably not. And then he's got Richmond, which is actually a really good 3-week run. So I don't know if Luke Ryan is the right example there. It might be the Sydney game that it happens. But he's projected to be 711K by the Sydney game, which is
fucked.
And he's projected to be 751K in round 15.
That's ridiculous.
And he's projected to just 130, 140, 150. It's like, what the fuck? So maybe that's a bad example. Maybe Luke Ryan won't end up coming down, but you kind of like that. The bad game always comes. And you just got to look at Bontempelli. Prime example. Like, Bontempelli has been killing it all year. Has a, what, he's 78 or whatever he got?
75 ish. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, the 50% of teams that don't have him will be able to pick up Bontempelli, you would think, at around 620, depending on how he goes this week. I can't help but think St Kilda will give him a lot of attention. And then he's got the Hawks in 2 weeks as well after that. So in 3 weeks' time, he's got the Hawks. So there's scope where he can come down 60K and then you jump on him, that because that 60K will come in handy, and it could be the difference between jumping on a key position forward as your F6 or jumping on someone that's just moved into the midfield.
Yeah.
Or someone that's just picked up DPP, maybe Jason Horne-Francis. So I think you need to try and avoid overpaying these guys. I've fallen into the trap before, and then it just fucks your cash flow. So I think you just need to wait.
Yeah, yeah. We go into premiers now that are kind of they're affordable. Yeah, they're affordable.
Yeah, they're not going to break you getting them in.
Yeah. So the only thing is, we've got no prices on here, Paddo. This is going to be fun. We started with Elliot Yeo. What fucking price is Elliot Yeo, Paddo? Because
Elliot Yeo is 530K with an average of 115. He's in 14% of teams, and he's got a break even of 14. Now, he's not going to play Richmond every week. That has to be noted. And we know the injury risk. This feels like a when, not if situation, just like with Jaden Short. It takes big cojones. He is a POD. I can't help but think if you didn't start him, you kind of missed the boat. And I'm okay letting Elliot Yeo fly through to the keeper because I can't help but think that he's going to get an injury at some stage. If I take my super coach hat off, I hope that he does stay healthy because we want these champions playing AFL every week. But I kind of think it's coming. So that's why I'm not huge on this, but we need to talk about it.
Yeah. The next one we got is Dan Houston at 580K. His break even is 103. So he's very achievable break even there. Even though his projected's only 88, he's got Collingwood. So I'd back him in there.
Averaging 111 in just 12% of teams as well.
Yeah, correct. So it's not really POD, but he's a good option. He's one that I want to get in at some stage.
Yeah, currently the sixth highest averaging defender as well. That is including Closey, who's the third highest averaging defender. So there's pretty much fifth highest averaging. So he's sort of plugging away. Like, he hasn't dropped below 105, and his thing has always been consistency. He's always been very up and down, but it looks like he's sorted that out. He's got a very favorable buy as well. I'm pretty sure he's on a buy that only has like three or four other teams on it at the same time. Port Adelaide and Freo, I think, are the two that have really favorable buys in that mid-season buy period. So it's definitely not too late to bring in Houston. 580 is on the higher-ish side, but pretty good solid option. It'll be a D5, D6 at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And the Saints next week as well.
Now, Paddo, how's your Jesse Hogan to Nick Dacos trade going?
Well, I ended up going early on Hogan, but I must note that Nick Dacos is 566K, and I'm pretty sure Hogan is about 480. So it's really not that. 464 is Hogan. So if you had told me that I could spend 100K and go Hogan to Dacos in round five or round six, people would have laughed at me like Scobie did. So I stand by it. I need to try and find a way to get Dacos in.
Well, his break even this round is 108 and he's projected at 110. So really, he's not going to move too much.
I also feel like he's going to have Willem Drew in his pocket all game. So it could be another low score coming, and then I can just look at him against Essendon next week for Anzac Day.
That's not a bad shout there, Paddo. The next one is probably one of the weirdest guys to watch for Supercoach purposes, Paddo, because owning him myself, and everyone traded him out already, he'll be on like 17 at one stage. You're like, fucking Hayden Young. And then all of a sudden he's on like 64 in an instant. You're like, oh shit, Hayden Young, nice. So he's got a bit of, remember when Adam Treloar used to do that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a bit of Adam Treloar about his scoring.
Well, Luke Ryan did that a bit on Saturday night, and he scored 80 points in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, fuck.
Like, it was nuts.
Yeah, so
I was happy.
No, Hayden Young, 550,900. His break-even's 80. So he's going on a little bit of a tear at the moment. In just 17% of teams, Paddo. So Bit of a point of difference, even though PODs, in my opinion, are below 10.
Yeah, so he started off in 69,000 teams and he's in 29,000 teams now.
Hold your primos.
Yeah.
Hold your fucking... Give him three games. Fuck.
But also, like, you need to be willing to swallow your pride and be okay with bringing these guys back in and admit that you made a mistake. I still don't even consider that a mistake because I turned Young into Ryan and I know which one I'd rather out of the two.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Fuck.
But Hayden Young is still on my radar. I still will get him in probably at some stage.
Yeah. One that people have been talking about, Pato, who is in 1,228 teams currently, is Mac Andrew of the Suns at 304,800. He's got a negative 20 break even, and his last two scores have been 101 and 92. I don't like bringing in someone now that's 300,000 into defense when, to be honest, most people would have already offloaded like your D'Ambrosios and whatnot and should have at least four primo defenders at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, but I also see that it'd be an okay stepping stone. But I think the structure that seems to be working at the moment is your guns and rooks, like classic high-end primos. Rookies on field, not many mid prices. And that's where I can't help but think this might not be a great option. The run is actually pretty good coming up, Dana. They've got Sydney who don't scream out like key position forward problems. And then they've got West Coast. And I mean, Waterman is playing like Wayne Carey on Sunday, which was very difficult to watch. Then Brisbane is a tough game, but then he goes into North Melbourne, Geelong. Carlton's obviously a tough one. Essendon, St Kilda into his bye. So he could make 150K before the bye. I wouldn't go there, though. I'd be targeting an actual primo or a rookie, and all the rookies are in defence anyway this week. So,
yeah.
I mean, Mac Andrew, it wouldn't shock me if he's 450K in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, but yeah. I'm okay with letting him go.
Yeah. We'll move on to the midfield now, Pato. And a guy that I'm eye-fucking the shit out of right now is Sam Walsh at 576K. I'm not trading him in. I want to see another week because, honestly, the back scares me. But at the same time, the dude pumps out of 166 after having that back issue. Like, come on, bro.
What should scare you is his scoring from last year when him and Sarong were in the same team. Because Sarong didn't play on the weekend. Not so wrong. I do mean Chera. When Walsh, Chera, Cripps, and the other guys,
Hewitt,
etc. Hewitt's had a great year. When they're all in the team, Walsh is the one that moves out to half forward / wing. Walsh nearly picked up DPP last year.
Yeah.
And I can read out his whole scores from last year. So he didn't play the first 4 weeks. 104, 130, 117, 106, 117, 92, 105, 72, 93, 108, 99, 119, 87, 109, DNP, 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 90. I don't understand why people are jumping on that after one game. Sure, that game was incredible. Like, he had a fucking game and a half. He's not going to be able to back that up after so long out. But also, like, once Chera's back, and Chera's not out for long term, like, Walsh is going to be the one that plays wing, and he'll go back to his 100-odd.
I don't know. I reckon he'll still play his normal role.
I think his ceiling will be what Brayshaw's doing this week, and it's the same issue where he's the one that gets squeezed out because he's a good kick and is okay on a wing, and he'll just get 105, 110 average, and that's not enough.
All right. What about the Tuke?
Yep.
Tuke Miller. Tuke,
yep. Still think he's good value.
582K.
Yep, 118 average, 24% of teams. Currently the 11th highest averaging midfielder. That includes DPPs, so that includes Flanders. Pretty nuts, and I don't think this is sustainable. I don't think this is going to keep up, but Matt Rao, 131 average. Sam Flanders, 119 average. 118 average for Noah Anderson and 118 for Tuke as well. Surely that does not stick because at that rate, that makes Gold Coast have three premium top 10 midfielders and then a forward in Flanders averaging about the same. Like, surely doesn't stay.
I want to point out something, Pato.
Yep.
Gold Coast still have yet to play West Coast twice. North Melbourne twice and Essendon twice.
Yeah, right.
They've got six of their next however many games remaining against West Coast two times, North Melbourne two times, Essendon two times. That's pretty fucking nuts. They've got one of the best draws in the AFL. No wonder they are actually scoring ridiculous. Now, you look at the teams that they've played so far. I don't know if Western Bulldogs are about 9th or 10th, aren't they?
I don't even know, but they're certainly not relevant.
Well, they've only played one top eight team then, and that's the Giants, and Tuke went at 89. But then when they're playing against those other teams, they're getting like 130s and 140s and whatnot. So I can see where it, like, this coming week they got Sydney, yeah?
Yep.
Then they got West Coast.
They do.
Then they got Brisbane, which usually I would back Tuke to actually go well against Brisbane. Then they got
Brisbane
North
haven't
Melbourne.
Been tagging this year.
Then they got North Melbourne.
Then Geelong, who I'd argue is a good midfield matchup.
Fuck yeah. So, like, I think it is actually sustainable.
There you go.
As fucked up as it sounds.
So you can throw in Noah Anderson then into that conversation as well at 3% ownership, 588,000.
I honestly reckon that Noah Anderson could pop off a 180 at any moment.
Yeah, he's got that in him, doesn't he?
He reminds me of Josh Kelly when it, like, Josh Kelly has like that big one big game during the year and you just have to pick when it's going to be. Like the big 180, 190, 200 game that Josh Kelly used to get.
Yeah, where he gets 35 touches and kicks three or four goals and just, yeah. Mm. What happened against West Coast?
Like, Noah Anderson's had two sub-100 scores for a 98 and an 89. Who did he get that big score against?
Hawthorn,
Melbourne. No, it was Melbourne was that big 189 game that he got last year. So he
Yeah,
that won't be until the second last game of the season that he plays.
Yeah, Supercoach prelims.
Hmm. So, yeah, anyway, those Gold Coast guys, fuck me, honestly. And Sam Flanders on half-back flank.
Yeah, like, looks good.
And he won't ever get defender status because he's already DPP at the moment. But we could get him as a half-back, like, a defender next year. It's fucked up. We'll move on to one that will get DPP in defense, Nick Martin, Paddo. Hold your primos. So he's at 563K, 400. Break even 87. He's projected to go 120. So first two games, 63, 93. I don't know why people traded him out after a 93 when the role was there. Then a 136, 133, 100. And that 100 in a game where the points were so evenly spread. And I think
that was a weird Supercoach game.
At the end of it, I think they might have been 3,400 allocated points and they had to shave 100 points off, someone was saying. So, players got scaled down because of it. That could have been a different game. I know that there was a game where that happened and I'm assuming it's going to be this one. So, yeah, Nick Martin, I like. I think he's just going to be a good defensive option. He's guaranteed to get the DPP, even if he plays 100% midfield this week, which we don't want anyway because he's been playing good off that quarterback-ish half-back free-roaming role.
I still have concerns long-term for when Ridley comes back, which I mentioned last week. When you put Nick Martin in the defensive group in terms of averages, he would sit 11th right now just in front of Tom Stewart, which is interesting. Ahead of him are guys like Closey, who isn't going to average 116, I can almost promise you.
Almost. Imagine almost. If he becomes a keeper.
Oh, 102K keeper would be sick. Nick Blakey with one average higher, who you'd think would drop off a little bit. And you got Nick Foss, Whitfield, Jeremy McGovern in there, that group as well. So he's kicking it with the big dogs in defense. Hayden Young, you'd probably think, improves his average. And I think it'll get to a stage where Jack Sinclair finds form and fitness and raises as well. And Sicily, the same deal there. Although he has the fitness, he's just been not great. Played a lot of forward on the weekend. But as I was saying, he's kicking it with the big dogs, and I don't think he'll be a sort of D3, 4 behind Shears or Ryan, but I think he'll be thereabouts. And I feel like it's a better option than Elliot Yeo, considering the injury issues, same with McGovern as well, the two West Coast guys. So Yeah, worth noting that he is part of that upper echelon of defenders.
Yeah, we got LDU here for the mids as well. He's been fucking pathetic. 528K, break-even's 125, so he's got Hawthorn, I think, this week, Paddo. So surely he can break that 125 against these guys. Surely.
Yeah, yeah, I think we're coming into the time where it wouldn't shock me if he started doing well. If you can time bringing these sorts of guys in well, you'll look like a genius, first of all, but you'll also really be ahead of the curve, because if you bring in a David Juniak at 528K this week and he drops 120, and you go for a Christian Petrarca at six, or no, you wouldn't go Petrarca because he's in the bye this week, but you go a Brayshaw at 594K, like you've saved, what, 70-odd K there, and he could score the same. And that 70K, like it snowballs, and that's worth more next week, where you can target the next one, which might be Oliver next week.
Yeah.
Or Petrarca, or those sorts of fallen primos.
Now, we've spoken about this before, Pato, but the psychic, the psyche around people looking at the averages and going, fuck yeah, this guy's, like, let's say you got two players the same price, one's averaging 110, one's averaging 90, but the one averaging 90 is just hitting his straps. People will go for the one that's averaging more, that they'll look at the average and they'll get turned off by another one. Whereas what we need to reiterate is it's what they average for you from the moment you trade them in. So let's say a Lukey Ryan averaging, what, 140 or whatever the fuck it is. You bring him in compared to a Hayden Young, and let's say it flips and Hayden Young starts going 120, 130, and Lukey Ryan all of a sudden starts going 105. Hayden Young works out better for you because you've saved money and they're averaging more from when you've brought them in. So Luke Davies Uniacke, what I'm going to get is Luke Davies Uniacke, if you get him in and he starts hitting 110s, 120s and whatnot, and you got him in at 528K, it's not going to look like that in reflecting in his average, but it's what he averages for you from the moment that you trade him in.
Yeah, 100%. And I'll reference someone that's still got a high break even, so it's probably more of a next week option, but Darcy Parrish at 544K. Mm-hmm. Break even 176, so he could go back down to sort of 500K. You could bring in Darcy Parrish at 500K coming into Dreamtime. Not Dreamtime, Anzac game against Collingwood.
Yeah.
And he's had scores of 80, 72, 61. Like, it's Darcy Parrish. We know he's better than that. He's had injury interrupted start of the year. Give him a month to get right, and I feel like the Collingwood game next week could really springboard him. Then he goes West Coast, GWS, North Melbourne, Richmond, Gold Coast.
Yep. Yep. We're not going to really talk about rucks, are we, Paddo?
No.
We'll talk about English when his price drops a bit more.
Hey, I just want to quickly say with English, because you brought it up.
Yep.
People need to chill the fuck out on English. Yes, he had a horrible game. He was my VC. Trust me, I fucking know. He's averaging 111. He's had scores 119, 138, 124, 117, and a 58 against Essendon. I also want to note that rucks have been scoring low against Essendon all year, and I probably should have contemplated that when VCing him. But my backup probably would have been Bontepelli, who did even worse. So slightly better, but still shit.
Yeah.
So just chill out. Like, he's fine.
Yeah. It's more so bringing him in at a very discounted price, Paddo, in a few weeks' time.
Yes, yes. And again, it's about the timing. Like, I paid up on English. I paid fucking, what was it, 700K or whatever he started at? Or 690, I think-ish. Oh, no, 715. Fuck, that's a lot to pay for a ruckman. but... I mean, you pick them because they're the big dogs and they're keepers. Like, one bad score doesn't make him average 58 for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but it also helps when you don't start him and you can...
Correct, so like, then you can pick him off.
Like with your Bont, your Bont call.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And Dacos. And I know he was in 80% of teams at the start and I wasn't one of those 80%. Same idea. Like, you wait for the down scores, you look at the roles... the fixtures and... He's had a couple of down games because of those fixtures, and it opens up now. So now it's time to pick off Nick Dacos.
Yep. We'll move on to the forward line. Sam Flanders. Do we have to talk about him? All I know
I just want to say the forward line is going to be fun this year.
Yeah, look, I've just brought Sam Flanders in. It's pained me watching him go 120s, 120s, 100, 120, 116. It's been fucking brutal. So, yeah, can't wait to own him like half the competition now.
Yeah, I want to try and find a way to bring him in, but I'm not sure whether him or Dacos are the priority.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, if you don't have him, get him in. That's all I can say with Flanders. If you don't have him, get him in. Isaac Rankin. I feel for Nerds for Life Supercoach here because he traded Isaac Rankin out.
Oh, no, did he?
Yeah, he traded him out because he's like, he's not performing. I thought he was going to be a breakout contender. Traded him out, and then he went and got those midfield minutes that he thought he was going to get the whole time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So Rory Laird, for those that didn't catch this game, was on the bench to end this game in a game they won by 2 points. And Isaac Rankin was the one that went into the midfield, and he had the second most CBAs out of the midfielders. So everyone not named Riley O'Brien. And had more CBAs than Matt Crouch, Jordan Dawson, and Rory Laird. So, and him going in there changed the game. So that's the answer for me. And I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with this midfield group, Dano, because Laird, Dawson, Crouch wasn't working and they made the change. They put Saligo in there a couple of weeks ago. They put Rankin in there this week and they knocked off a pretty good Carlton team.
Yep.
So I think it's sticking. So I think this is a really great trading option. Break even a 49 as well, coming into Essendon and then North.
Feel so sorry for the bloke.
I love the thought of having Rankin and Shea Bolton. So I brought in Shea Bolton last week and captained him for his 130, which was nice. But Rankin and Bolton in the same Supercoach forward line, giving me an excuse to watch them both every weekend, makes me a happy man in the pants.
Yeah. In the pants. Yeah, he's 454K, Paddo. Like, Jesus. He's actually only lost 6.9K.
And I'll also say the four games that he played as a forward weren't even horrible. Like 97, 81, 68, 88. Like in this year's midfield, forward line, that is not horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Dane Zorko, 528,500. He's gone up about 48K, Paddo. He's only in 4% of teams. So this is POD. Now, he's relishing that halfback role. And people are worried, McKenna's coming back this week. I think, personally, that Zorko wasn't warming McKenna's spot. Darcy Wilmot has been warming McKenna's spot. And Dane Zorko has taken over Kitty Coleman's spot. That is my observation. You can take it or leave it. But I think Zorko on the halfback flank is here to stay. And it's a fucking good option. Even though he's a flog. What are your thoughts, Paddo?
It takes gonads, but this is the sort of move that Captain Hindsight really loves. And he's still a really good price, and I think he'll get out of okay price pretty quickly. But at the same time, could ping a hammy. He's 34 or whatever he is. Is he 36, actually? I think he's a bit older than 34. Also, a bit of a flog. So yeah. Has a history of whacking blokes off the ball and just been a dog, so
cheating on his missus.
Well, yeah, that won't get suspended in AFL, but that would get you red listed.
Red
listed. So flog on and off the field.
Yeah, yeah, great captain, former captain.
But yeah, good Supercoach scorer in this role.
Yeah, move on to Taylor Adams. Now, don't trade him in this week. Just keep an eye on this fucker. He's actually in 1% of teams, Pato. I don't know how. He's 437K, has mid-forward DPP. Yeah, I just keep an eye on him. I'm not entirely sold on this bloke. He's played one game, so you can hold off. And that one game was against West Coast. So he's got Gold Coast, Hawthorn, Giants, Freo, Carlton over the next five. I personally would be holding off even though he's cheap. I'd honestly rather a Rankin.
So would I, but I mean, yeah. Adam's score was against West Coast, so that has to be considered. See how he goes against the Suns this week, and then we can look at him next week.
Yep. Now I'm trying to get up. Ah, here he is. Tom Powell. Pato. 425K exactly. So he's already had gone up 112.8K. He's in 25% of teams. He's got a break even of 71. So he should get that. And he's got Hawthorn this week. I actually don't want people to trade him in because it's hard to explain, but I think now we're starting to see those shifts where we've got like your Zorkos, and even though Zorko hasn't really shifted, he's been every second game, he's been fucking getting over 100. But you got your Rankins, Shea Bolton's now kicking on. I feel like Powell is going to end up being like an F7, F8.
So I disagree because I look at the top averaging forwards right now. Luke Jackson will drop off. Now, he still may be in the top six, but he's not going to average 110 playing more forward than Ruck. Harry Mackay, 105. Like, I don't think he'll get 105 this season. Zorko's at 5. I think that sticks. Combin isn't averaging 102 on the year, so he drops out. Shea Bolton's there. He'll be thereabouts. Jesse Hogan, averaging 99.8. That's not sticking. Charlie Curnow, same thing. He's not averaging 98 for the year, so he will drop out. And there's really not that much to come into that top six group. You've got Taylor Adams, who could, depending on role and how much midfield time he can get. Isaac Rankin, we spoke about. There's a guy that we're about to talk about that could maybe, but again, he's more of a key forward, so he'd be a bit up and down. Then you got maybe a Liam Baker, depending on the role and the rest of the year. He could get up there, but there's really not that much. So I think he's your classic F6, and we picked him up at, what, 300 and something K?
Yeah, okay. But you've picked him up at 300 and something K. We're talking about people that are trading him in now.
Right, he's still great value at 425K.
I think we'll agree to disagree there. Yeah. Unless Tom Powell can come out with a big 120 plus or something like that.
He could this week against Hawthorn.
Yeah, then, yeah, fuck yeah. go on to big Jezza Cameron, Pato. We kind of thought that one of Hawkins or Cameron would pop off in this game, and then it turns out that, well, Hawkins didn't play. So at 458,600, Jeremy Cameron, big 140. He's actually had 3 scores out of 5 above 100 for a 101, 120, and 140. Now, he does have Brisbane, Carlton, Melbourne, Port Adelaide, Gold Coast, Giants across the next 6.
It's actually a pretty tough run.
Yes. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Quite a very tough run. You got your Harris Andrews, you got your Jacob Wiedering, you got the fucking Twin Towers in Melbourne. Port Adelaide's just fucking Port, so that's okay. Gold Coast, Collins and Ballard actually aren't too bad. And then Giants should have Sammy Taylor back by then. So
you'd hope so.
Yeah, it should only be 2 weeks max. Should be. So yeah, I'm going to say no to the Jeremy Cameron one. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's probably more of a late season play, but he's pretty good value.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one that I actually was hoping you'd put on this list and you fucking did was Cam Rayner. Now, I'm just trying to find this mofo. There he is. So he's 421K, 1% owned. He got that big sloppy doppy 137 against Melbourne. So he's had 2 scores over 100 and they come in the last 3 weeks. The only downside is that fucking North Melbourne game. Don't know what happened there. But one thing that I want to point out, Pato, is he had 9 CBAs out of 20.
And that's pretty good. That's the role that Flanders was playing.
So 9 CBAs out of 20. And I liked his interview after the game where I think he started at the first centre bounce and he got like a clearance straight away. And he was meant to rotate forward. And they decided, no, we'll just keep him in there for another one. And then just kept him kind of in the midfield for most of the game, with rests up forward. So it was the opposite to what he normally plays, and it worked. And what I'm hoping that Brisbane actually do is Cam Rayner was drafted as a fucking midfielder.
At number one, mind you.
I would love to see him actually go back. Don't fucking do a Heaney where Sydney wait till he's 27. I don't even know how old Cam Rayner is. Let's see how old this fucker is.
I was just looking it up.
He's 24. So yeah, they're almost waiting till he's 27. Like, let the dude play in his natural position. It's obviously working. Just do it. Fuck. And then we got another forward trade in that we can bring in.
Yeah, and I think McCluggage on a wing is pretty much all Australian material as well. So
yeah, 100%.
It kind of makes sense to have Cam Rayner be that third guy behind Dunkley and Neil.
And I actually didn't realise how quick he was.
Oh, he's quick. His burst is huge.
Yeah, I was shocked because he's such a nugget. And then just see him streaming away, you're like, fuck me dead, you're quick over those first 10 meters.
It's like Dusty. Yeah. Like his sprint speed isn't high, but his burst is just elite. Yeah, well, it was. It's not much now.
It's that 10 meter. So yeah. He gets that Harley separation. Reid
is the same.
Yeah, he's. I was actually shocked at how quick he was, too.
He could be an F6.
Oh, he could be. Anyway, we'll move on to question time then, Paddo, because that might even be one of the questions. I don't know.
Could be.
Let's start on Twitter for a sec, Paddo. I've got to try and find your fucking tweet. Here we go. I think we only got the one question on Twitter and it ended up being Scobie. He's back. So Scobie says, worth paying the house for Heaney, or can we potentially say that a Tuke/Walsh presents better value, keeping in mind the dollars saved? And then he goes on to say, additionally, I'd love to know what's more deflating, being kicked in the groin or seeing a score of 9 from Max King on field. Fuck. He's targeting me there.
Yeah. I mean, we've touched on this a lot this episode, Dano. I think finding the value is better across your team, just being able to bank a bit of extra cash, maximize those downgrades and using them for your next upgrade, because it just slows down your upgrade cadence way too much. But I know, as I said before, and we disagreed on this, Walsh isn't the option for me.
That's fair. I'd love to know your trades this week, Paddo. We'll do that after question time, or what you're looking at. Now, I'm just trying to get onto our Facebook. Do we have any inbox messages about this?
I can check.
I'll go to questions anyway. As the page loads, here we go. So to start with, we'll go with Chris. So he says, I know you will cover this, but seems like a double downgrade week this week. I went early on Closey and Combin and Graham seem like too good of a cash cow opportunity to pass up. Anything that worries you about these two players in terms of job security scoring potential? So that's Combin and Graham. I think, yeah, we already have covered both of them. I think Graham's more of a must-have than Combin, in my mind. Paddo probably thinks differently.
I just want to say double downgrade is probably the play this week, but I feel like your boosts are there for weeks like this where you double downgrade rookies and there's no point keeping 300K or 400K in your salary. Use that on top of another rookie to get to a primo. And it's difficult because there's a lot of primos that are not quite there. I look at a Riley Sanders who has a break even of 49. It's easy to look at flicking him off, but I mean, he could get 100 again with no Libra on this in that team for this week. And all of a sudden his break even resets a bit.
If
Sanders plays, Mick Malthouse isn't coaching that team, so he'll be fine.
Yeah, but Bevo gives me Malthouse vibes.
Yeah, but Malthouse knows what he's doing. So it depends. Like, I'm looking at Akamas as well, break even of 30, so he's not ready yet. It's tough. It's tough, but I would try and put that double downgrade money on top of another rookie to get a lower priced value primo just to keep that momentum going and getting another primo, especially in a bye week like this. So I think it'd be really helpful.
Matt says, time to move Jackson on? ?
I wouldn't.
I feel like if you started him, you got to hold him.
I wouldn't before playing West Coast.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he's got the Western Bulldogs and then Richmond.
Like, honestly, if you fucking paid up the money to start him, I'm sorry, you got to stick with him.
Yeah, I think you wait, you hold him for the 3 weeks because he's got a really good run. And I think you reassess in round 9 against the Swans and see how he's scoring with Darcy and the team. They've openly said that they like the way he moves and he could even play as mid, like a actual midfielder. So I think that really fucks over Nat Fyfe and his scoring potential, but because he'll probably play that role, but he could score even higher without having to be in the ruck and he'll still be around the ball.
Yep. Yep. Fair.
But he could kick a big bag this week. He averaged 160 against West Coast.
Yeah, that's got to hold him against West Coast. Got to. Tate, long-time listener Tate, says, I probably can't afford an upgrade this week, so who is a fallen primo I might look for next week so I can plan a downgrade this week so I don't have to boost? Or any must-haves that will be too expensive in 2 weeks' time? I think we've pretty much just covered everything in this podcast, really.
I think Parrish is a really good one for next week with their run. I'm going to assume he has Bontempelli. I'm going to assume... No, English isn't really a trade-in option.
Can I just say, for 2025...
Oliver's going to be so cheap.
That's who I was thinking of. Oliver in 2025, everyone will be starting.
It all depends. Because people are forgetting. He went for surgery last week.
Yeah, correct.
So he'll come off the bye against Richmond. If there's a team that'll play him into form, it's Richmond. He could get his break-even against Richmond next week.
I'd still start him next year.
But Petrarca's another one. It's probably not next week, although he's another one that could probably get his break-even against Richmond next week, which is 156. LDU is one we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I like him. It's just you probably want to see something before backing him in, but we know how good he is and can be. But I think Parrish, honestly, and people aren't really talking about him either.
Yeah. Pantelis, okay. Nerds for Life Supercoach is doing exactly what I'm doing this week. He goes, I'm trading out Max King. I don't want to ever hear his name again, but Will Graham. It works with DPPs, moving Manor to FH, Bakos to M4, and Graham to D5. But I'm not sold on Combin. I do want to get rid of Clark, and I'm thinking of going a week early on McAuliffe. The role is there, but Hopper is listed at 2 to 3 weeks away and Prestia 3 weeks as of last week. Thoughts? I want to see McAuliffe in the team. I actually like him.
He played. He played a full game yesterday.
But I like to see him like play even with Hopper and Prestia coming back.
Yeah, I don't think, especially this week, Richmond had the bye this week, so I wouldn't be bringing him in this week. I think if you want a forward rookie this week, it's Big Inyuan.
Yeah.
And you go a week early on him, even though it is risky.
What about Ramsden?
Oh, God. No, I mean, unless they come out and say Lloyd Meek's going to miss a couple of weeks, you could not go there.
You sure?
Yes.
I'm trying to find him. Hang on. Because he's got North Melbourne this week.
Is his break even in the positives, even in the negatives?
Negative 26. You got a 25 against the Suns, but he's got
no way. You cannot. Pantelis, don't listen to Dano. Do not bring in Max fucking Ramsden.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'd always prefer Ethan Reed to fucking Ramsden.
Oh, Jesus. Did we get any?
Oh, no, Reed's a rocket only.
Do we get any questions?
Yeah, we did.
In the inbox.
So, yeah, Dalla with a question. Had another one last week as well, so thanks for the question, Dalla. Says he's got a new one for us. Decided to fade Flanders this week in light of making a little more cash. Thinking of fading one more week for these trades, only $500 left over, and those trades are Crouch, McKercher, and Cadman out for Hayden Young, Nick Martin, and Will Graham.
I mean,
I don't know about trading Crouch out, but I'm not a Crows fan. I wouldn't be shocked if Crouch doesn't come back into the team, and that might seem like a big call, but it seemed like a big call last year when he was dropped. So I just feel like they'll see a midfield group of like Laird, Soligo, Rankin this week and really like it and possibly struggle to find a... Fuck, I just hit my Achilles and it fucking killed. Really struggle to find a spot for Crouch again after his suspension.
Yeah. All righty, Paddo. Well, we're up to freaking VC and C options. So we are not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys the VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. And we are looking at round 6. So Thursday, Paddo, again, some more VCs can come into this. We got St Kilda versus Western Bulldogs. I think this is going to be the first round where we see very different VCC options from a lot of different people.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good options this round.
But more so, like, you got St Kilda, so you got Romar and fucking Steele versus Bontempelli and English. They'll bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, Bontempelli has a great record against the Saints. So last year he had 125, but the two before that he went 181 and 159. So,
and can I just say, Jack Steele kissed on the dick for this game.
Why?
His liver's out.
Yeah, so I feel like Steele goes to Bont.
Yeah.
Or they could do Windhager like they did last year.
Yeah, maybe. I think Windhager versus Bont would be more likely. But what I'm saying is that you would have put Liver versus Steele and it would have probably negated Steele a little bit. But now he doesn't have anyone that can really go with him.
They could bring in Harms.
That's disgusting.
They could.
Be good. so, yeah, they're my four for this game, Paddo.
You got I don't else? Mind English or Bont for a bounce back. So last year, English had 139 against the Saints.
Yep. Same players that I've mentioned.
Yeah. I just feel like there's some really big options from other games. We could see a weekly of like 2,400 this week and it's a buy round. Oh,
that's fucked.
Yeah, we could though.
Yeah, that is fucked though. Yeah. We go to Friday. We've got Adelaide versus Essendon. Who do you have in this one, Paddo?
Like Rankin?
For a cheeky VC. I can see Nick Martin just doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
But it all depends on which Essendon show up.
Yeah, I think in Adelaide, I don't mind Nick Martin in that game, but
Zachy Merritt would be the one.
Yeah, Merritt or Parrish.
Parrish? You reckon Parrish bounce back game?
Probably not a VC worthy. But Merritt, if you're a Merritt owner, it's hard to deny his form at the moment, and he won't get tagged. So
I can see Rory Led going all right, even though he sat off that whole last quarter, essentially.
No Crouch means his midfield team increases, time increases.
Correct. Yeah. So I don't mind that. I can't really think of any others, to be honest.
No.
Move on to Saturday. Again, two.
Prison Bar Derby.
Yeah, Prison Bar Derby. We got Collingwood versus South Australian Collingwood, Port Adelaide. So, again, this. You know what I'd fucking love, Paddo, just for a bit of a change? Horny Francis 150. Oof.
Not going to happen if Wines plays.
Can they just trade Wines? Jesus Christ.
I think they tried, but they weren't happy with Essendon's offer.
True.
Because as if Essendon needs another inside mid. You got Jackson Hatley destroying the VFL.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think it's either a Rosie or a Butters in this one.
So I like a Houston.
I can see Butters going off the chain. And it'll be a big F you to everyone because he got off his suspension.
He shouldn't have.
Exactly.
I think Dacos is going to void in this because of Willem Drew.
Yeah.
And even if Dacos plays defense, Port Adelaide's halfbacks are very restrictive. They've got Darcy Byrne-Jones and the likes that just clamp on halfbacks. So to know from me in this game, I'd be avoiding this one.
Carlton versus Giants. This one is going to hurt because I can see Harry Mackay getting off the chain.
Oh, wasn't expecting to say that.
With no Sam Taylor. I reckon Buckley goes to the more athletic Curno, as he usually does, but we're going to bring in someone like Lockie Keefe, someone like that, that will go on fucking... Or if they bring in Nick Haynes, then Himmelberg will go on Mackay, and he's done that before, and he's been absolutely carved up. So
isn't Haynes out for personal reasons?
Oh, shit, yeah, true. Oh, then it might be Lecalier.
Or Briggs.
Nah, it'll be probably Lecalier. Lecalier or... Who the fuck did I just say? Keith.
To play against Mackay?
Correct.
Shit. BC Mackay.
That's why I said I can see Mackay getting off the chain in this one. Yeah. I don't actually know if Tom Green has a good scoring history against Carlton.
He had 140-odd last week, but I'm worried about the tag. I'm just not sure who they go to.
Oh, yeah, 145. Yeah. I think they... Well, when he goes head-to-head with Cripps, they kind of negate one another. So it's
yeah, I feel like that'll be the matchup.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not going to suggest Tom Green as a captain in this one. I think
doesn't
he might
scrape Kelly on. Have a really high, really good record against Carlton?
Ooh, let's see. I think Sam Walsh does two against the Giants.
104 last year and 148 and 156 the week before.
Let's just check Sam Walsh for a sec. Gotta love internet in a regional town.
Morwell.
Not Morwell. Don't live there, never will. Let's just visit.
So 90 last year, 111 the year before, 149 as well.
Yeah, see? So, yeah, this will be interesting. Where's it played? Oh, it's a Marvel. If it was a Giants or whatever the fuck it's called now, Ingi, I would have said probably one of Kelly or Walsh, but not in this case. I feel like Lachie Whitfield is so close to a big score, Paddo.
Yeah, this could be the one.
I have no idea what his scoring history is against Carlton. I'll quickly check. But yeah, like the dude's playing the best he ever has. He had that one game below 100, but he was off for a whole quarter and came back for an 87. So, no, his scoring history against Carlton, shit. Like, really shit. But at the same time, you know what? I'm gonna say Lachie Whitfield's going to go all right in this game. I reckon you could do a cheeky VC.
Nah, you couldn't VC him.
Yeah, that's better options. Brisbane versus Geelong. Is Chucky Neal playing? He should be fine.
He did go down, but then back out. But he'll play.
Dunkley.
Yeah, I feel like Dunkley's the one.
Yeah. I love our mate Luke, who will be listening to this podcast, saying that Dunkley doesn't look like he's putting in any effort in that last game, blah, blah, blah. And then I think he actually scored pretty good. He got a 122. So Dunkley's gone 101, 113, 96, 122, 122. So not terrible. He's averaging 110.8. I feel like he's one of those guys that's due for a big game. This could be it against that Geelong midfield.
Yeah.
Or do we go cheeky VC, Dane Zorko?
What about Tom Stewart, who dropped 152 against Brisbane last year?
Yeah.
I feel like he's due a big, big game.
Yeah, he hasn't had one of those big 180s or anything yet.
No.
Don't mind. Any left fielders, Paddo? Not really.
No. I just really like the next three games.
Okay, well, if you got Caleb Sarong, the Eagles versus Dockers, I reckon this one could be absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think Caleb Sarong's the play here.
So Sarong played West Coast twice last year. Round 3, 146. Round 22, 97. Not sure what happened in round 22, but I like Sarong as a VC.
Oh, yeah. I wish I had him for this very reason. Luke Ryan will just be taking the piss.
Is he going to be down there? And I mean, West Coast were good yesterday. I can't talk shit about them.
West Coast's problem isn't getting the ball into their forward 50. It's scoring from it. They can actually transition to the forward line fine. So It's those long bombs in. Jakey Waterman just took advantage of those long bombs in.
Yeah.
I feel like Lukey Ryan will take advantage of them.
Yeah, probably.
I don't want Elliot.
He just walked out there and scored 130, so.
Yeah, I feel like you just got to stick to the Freo boys in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you could, but Luke Jackson could be a nice option.
Mm-hmm. You know what? VC is there to be cheeky.
True.
The thing is the Sunday games aren't that great.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know with the... Okay, so we'll go to Sunday. We got Sydney versus Gold Coast.
So you got to say the guy that hasn't scored below 128 all year isn't a nice option.
Oh, yeah, Heaney. Yeah, I forgot he's back.
He's back.
You're back, baby.
He is.
Is he due for a low one, like 110?
not against the Suns.
Yeah. Although, in saying that, the clearance work of the Suns, I think, is better than the clearance work of Sydney.
But the game's in Sydney, isn't
Yeah, but I think their clearance work is better.
It's just a small ground. There'll be lots of stoppages. He'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. Do we think Matty Rowell keeps going?
Yeah.
Yep.
Just Sydney, I feel like we'll lock down on someone. Just hard to pick which one it is. But I think Rowell could benefit from playing in the SCG. I think it's a ground that suits him.
Yep.
119 against him last year as well in a kind of down year too. So.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, sure. Tuk Miller, Sam Closey.
Sam Closey?
Man, why not? Man,
you know what? Do it. And if he goes above like 130, I'll pat you on the back.
Yeah, it's going to take more than a pat on the back to do it. But I'm also higher ranked than you, so I can't be doing dumb shit like that.
Yeah, okay. I'm actually really liking my position right now.
Yeah.
I've only used the one boost. Got plenty of trades left.
Until you look at the round 14 buy.
My round 14 buy?
Yep.
That's why I have four boosts, mate.
True.
I'm actually having a look at it now. It's really slow. It's like really slow. Who the fuck's got the round 14 buy? Hang on. It's taken ages.
So Gold Coast, Carlton, Geelong, Melbourne.
Oh, yeah, but by that stage, I won't have Graham.
Essendon, West Coast.
Probably would have flicked off Closey. I'm assuming I would have flicked off Harley Reid by then.
He'll be a keeper.
No, I don't think he will. Jack Carroll will be gone. Yeah,
Nick I'll
be
Martin. Fine.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'll be fine by then, man. I'll be fine. Yeah. Oh, we'll keep going. Last game is North versus Hawthorn.
Yes. I don't love waiting till the final game for your captain. I did it last week and it was fine. But Harry motherfucking Cheezel. The Cheezel man.
You reckon Finn goes to him?
Yeah, but Finn went to fucking Flanders and still scored 120.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I don't even think Finn went to Flanders at one stage because we were waiting for it to happen in the game and I was just like, when's it going to happen?
So last year, Cheezel had 120 and 103 against Hawthorn and he's even better this year. So,
yeah. Remember when you were questioning his ceiling as a VCC option?
Cheezel?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not questioning it now.
Pato, what's your Twitter handle?
It's at PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. Who are you thinking of bringing in this week, Pato?
Will Graham?
Yep.
Yep. I don't fucking know who else. I'm struggling because I like Biggie. I'm just struggling with who to trade out because my Rockies aren't quite ready. Like, I've got Lazaro, who actually had an okay score, which was lucky as the sub. I've got Manor sitting there. I'm not trading him out because he's not going to make any money. I've still got Caulfield and Reed. Howes isn't ready to trade out. Sanders is the closest, but I feel like he's got a 90-odd score in him this week with no Libba in the team. I've got Buku Kamas, who has a break-even of 30 still. He's not ready. Sam Darcy nowhere near ready. Nat Fyfe, but, I mean, I'm not trading him out before playing West Coast. I don't know who to trade out. Zach Williams isn't ready yet either. He's got a 6 break even.
Yeah.
I could just do the one trade and just bring in Will Graham.
No, fair. Yeah, I'm trying to bring in Flanders and it's just I'm thinking of bringing in Biggie, but it's just a matter of who I trade out.
I think that's the biggest problem, which is why I'm erring towards waiting another week.
Well, I think
fucking
I might,
savage yawn hits me.
I personally think I might be trading out Cadman.
Yeah, see, Cadman is who I'm turning into Graham.
Yeah. I may hold Sanders. I might flick on Sanders. I'm not sure.
I feel like that would backfire.
Well, everyone thought me trading McKercher last week would backfire, and it didn't.
I traded McKercher out last week.
Beautiful.
But winning. Pissed on the dick there.
I was also kissed on the dick majorly because I traded it to Jason Horne-Francis. Mind you, I'm trying to work out how much forward he actually played. I think it was around 33%, which means that his percentage might be at 31, which is too low at the moment. So my thought might backfire there, but I had all these trades, so even if he keeps scoring okay in the mids, I can always trade him out or hope that he plays a bit more forward. and gets it at the round 12.
Yeah, next week we'll have some DPPs to play with.
Oh, yeah. Nick Martin into defense for me. I've currently got Nick Dacos in my midfield.
There you go.
Jason Horne-Francis right now is my M7.
Not bad.
Oh, it's just because of the shift arounds to try and get playing players on field and whatnot. So Graham and Closier both on field in defense right now.
And then we get a bunch more defenders next week.
Well, I'm McAuliffe.
We'll get Combin as well.
But McAuliffe in the mids, he's the one I'm eyeing off.
Combin, Karmas, Martin.
Roberts. So many.
Yep. And then I can start to look at sidewaysing maybe a Reed and Caulfield. Not Reed. Reed will be back soon, but Caulfield's got to go soon.
Mine's Toby Pick.
Yeah. Oh, he's still healthy at least, so.
Yeah, I know. I'm just not trading him while it's the best 18 rounds.
Yeah, no.
I'm waiting for Matty Roberts to get DPP, then flick him into defense. But now the way everything's going, fucking Graham might have to stay on field. I don't know. We'll finish up the podcast now. So anyway, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.